It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony V and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. It's a Throwback Thursday, 1988. We go back to, this is the Pet Shop Boys. The fog game on this date in 1988 between the Bears and the Eagles. Won by the Bears, but nobody could see. So I don't know how you did it even happen. All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Matt Michelle joins us, Orlando Sentinel. We'll talk some college football. Friday, the two semifinal games, Alabama-Notre Dame, Ohio State-Clemson will be in the Sugar Bowl afterwards. Let's get a preview of both of those from Matt. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Happy New Year to you. Happy holidays. So we get these semifinal games. I'm just going to ask you a question right off the bat. Give me your opinion of the two teams I'm kind of thinking about here. Notre Dame and Ohio State. We know the line about Notre Dame. They get to the big stage and they fall apart, and everybody just wonders how they got there in the first place. And then there's Ohio State, who's only played six games. People are wondering how they get, you know, should they even get in this year? Which program you think is under that kind of pressure going into the national semifinals?
You know, I think probably Notre Dame a little bit more. I mean, you know, you mentioned the fact that they, when they get to that big stage, you know, over the last decade or so, you know, they haven't really done well. You know, they've struggled, and I think that's something that's concerning. If you look at what Notre Dame has done as a program over its, 132-year history, I mean, they've had some of the biggest games in college football, and they've done really well in them, and they just haven't been able to do that. So I think for Brian Kelly, at least, you know, when you think about the Notre Dame coaches that come before him, the Lou Holtzes, the Ara Parseghians, you know, New Rottneys, those guys all performed well in those big games. He's got to find a way to get that kind of monkey off his back. I mean, he's got to go out there and do something a little bit better and help out his situation to try to get a win there. So it's not going to be easy. I mean, again, this is, you know, we're talking about an Alabama team that's the number one team in the country, has one of the most dynamic offenses in the country, and is, you know, probably on course to playing in the national championship. So it's going to take a lot more for him, I think, and for this Notre Dame team to make their case this weekend.
It's kind of, you look at Notre Dame, and you go back to November, and, you know, when Clemson played them without Trevor Lawrence, DJ Uiagalelei still had over 400 passing yards. Trevor Lawrence demolished them in the ACC championship. This is an amazing Alabama offense, as you mentioned. They can beat you throwing the ball. Najee Harris will run over you. It's hard to see what Notre Dame could do defensively. Can they do something defensively?
Well, yeah. You know, I think the challenge for them is they're going to have to find a way to disrupt Mac Jones. They got to make sure that they get to him, force him to, you know, make some mistakes, make him uncomfortable, which really is the biggest challenge ever, because we haven't seen him really kind of go through that. You know, they're going to have to make sure that they can contain the big play. They can't give up those big scoring opportunities that Alabama is used to doing. I mean, and again, you know, you mentioned stopping Najee Harris, making sure he doesn't have that big game, much like he did in the SEC championship game where he scored, you know, five touchdowns. They've got to limit, you know, Devontae Smith. I mean, they've got to make sure that they don't, you know, let him go free and have tons of opportunities. So it's a three-headed, you know, monster really to deal with. And it's going to be tough for them, because outside of Clemson, you know, maybe North Carolina is the closest team that resembles this idea of having these many weapons on offense that they've played so far this year. So that's going to be the challenge. I think what they have to do is, it's more about offense. I think they have to kind of control the football. They have to control the clock. If they can go out there and do what they do, run the football, you know, use Ian Book's arm, his legs as well, maybe don't, you know, try to, you know, they're not going to score quickly, but if you go 3, 4, 5 minutes on offense, you know, keep Alabama's offense on the sidelines, I think that's going to help you. They've got to play, like we talked about, almost done. You've got to play that perfect game. You can't give up any mistakes. You can't have any mistakes, and you can't let them take advantage of those good plays.
Mac Jones, a lot of people, this has only been a shortened season to see what he can do. We had a full boat of A.J. McCarron years ago. We saw the Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa era at Alabama. But for this one year, where is Mac Jones in this sort of hierarchy of Alabama quarterbacks?
Well, I think he depends on the next couple, couple
game
weeks.
Or two, right, yeah.
Yeah, if he wins, you know, Friday, and they beat Notre Dame, and then they get to the national championship game, and he wins the national championship, well, he's going to be right there among some of the best, you know, Alabama quarterbacks, you know, which is it kind of almost, you know, when you think about his story, it's really incredible. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, no one was really kind of talking about, because Tua was there, Tua Tagovailoa, so people thought, oh, he's the backup, the perennial backup. you know, he steps up. He has this big year. Really kind of, you know, I think really utilized that Steve Sarkisian offense that, you know, they put in there. And, you know, he saw what he's been able to do. And it's an incredible story for a guy. It's very similar to when we talk, you know, we look at a guy like Kyle Trask at Florida, a very similar path, you know, a guy who wasn't expected to be the main guy there. All of a sudden, Mac's there, and he's going to have that opportunity to put his name up there with some of the greats in Alabama history. So I think, to me, his story isn't finished yet. I mean, his story will be written within the next couple games.
Ian Book, on the flip side, if we realize that maybe Alabama can't go punch for punch with the offense, Notre Dame can't go punch for punch with Alabama offensively, but Ian Book can do a couple of things. What are those things that he can do?
Well, one of the things is he's you know, got not only just a strong arm, but he's also got great, you know, vision downfield. He's able to utilize the tight ends. You know, Notre Dame's one of the few teams in the country that has, you know, some really tall, lengthy tight ends that can also catch the football. He's also a guy that can run with the football. You know, when there's pressure, you know, when a team kind of decides to blitz him, he's got that ability to scramble out of the pocket. He can kind of use his legs to make plays. You hear the word gutty used all the time, but he's one of those gutty type of quarterbacks. You know, he's an old school quarterback. He's going to go out there and run around. He's going to try to find a way to will his team to get that win. And I think you've seen that time and time again. You saw that in that, you know, overtime win over Clemson earlier in the year. You know, he was scrambling around. He made those plays. Even when he makes a mistake, he's able to come back on the next play and try to do something to kind of make up for that. So I think, you know, that's an X factor that, you know, that Alabama's going to have to watch out for, because he's a guy who really will find a way to kind of make those plays with his legs. He won't just sit back in the pocket and throw the ball downfield all the time. He can, but he's a guy that's going to try to use all his assets that he can to try to find a way to get a win.
All right, well, let's go to the Sugar Bowl, the later game of the semifinals. And, you know, these teams played a classic last year. The names are kind of same. So is there any expectation that we might get a classic in this one?
Oh, I think so. Listen, before we get into this game, I mean, look at the back and forth, the talking back and forth, you know,
yeah,
the disrespect factor that Ohio State is using this year. You know, the fact that Dabo Swinney, you know, ranked Ohio State, you know, 11th in his coaches poll. Right now, Ryan Day going into this game has got to be playing that card, you know, that disrespect card really heavily, because I think he feels like, you know, going into the postseason, the fans, the critics, tons of people were saying this team didn't deserve to be there. They didn't play a full schedule. They only played six games. They needed the Big Ten's help to get to this point. There's a big disrespect card, and I think they're going to go in there and use that chip on their shoulder, and they're going to try to find a way to win this game. Plus the fact, as you mentioned, you know, last year's game, they felt like they had that game in control, and then they have that one, you know, play, the fumble up, you know, towards the end of the game that really kind of cost them an opportunity to win it, and eventually Clemson went on to win the game. So there's a lot there for Ohio State. They want to come into this game, and they want to make a big statement, and they want to prove to people that they deserve to be here, not just because of the fact that they got into the Big Ten. You know, they want to show everyone that they deserve the opportunity to win this game, and it's going to be interesting to see how that year play out. You know, especially a team that's only played six games. Clemson's gone the whole season. You know, will Ohio State be a little fresher in some regards, you know, because of the fact they haven't only played six games? That's going to be some of the things I'm looking forward to going into the game.
Yeah, that is an interesting angle to it, and I don't know how much play it's getting in the previews, but yeah, this is Ohio State's seventh game. I would think a seventh game for a team is better than a team that's playing 12th.
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, again, you're going to have some players who were on COVID, you know, who were quarantined due to COVID that missed the Big Ten championship because of, you know, some of the rules changes by the Big Ten. They're going to be allowed to play in this game. And those guys have been, you know, maybe not on the field for a couple weeks, two or three weeks. So they get an opportunity to be fresher as well. So you get some fresh legs there. So I think in some regards, I think it's going to be interesting to see that. And I know that's, you know, they've also lost a couple games due to COVID as well. So they're going to be a much fresher team in a lot of ways than Clemson is. But, I mean, you know, you look at what Dabo Swinney has done with his program over the years. I don't think that's going to be a concern so much for him. They know they've got Trevor Lawrence there. They know they've got Travis Etienne. Their concern is making sure defensively they can continue to do things they've done all season long. They've got to continue to put pressure on the quarterback. They got to do what they did last year, get pressure on Justin Fields. They got to make sure that they kind of make him one-dimensional. And they got to focus on the fact that, you know, they can't let the distraction of, you know, Ohio State's chip on the shoulder. They can't kind of get involved in that and let it get chippy. They're one game away from getting back to the national championship, and I think that's what Dabo wants to get the team to.
We see Justin Fields, and you mentioned the kind of the dual aspect of it, making him one-dimensional. He can run. Do they use him to run the ball a lot this season?
Yeah, I think at times. I think because of the fact that they were missing players at key times on offense, I think he had to do a lot more. I think that's why when you look at some of his stats this year, he's not as strong as he was in the past. I think, you know, he had to pick up a little bit more than he probably would have liked to have done. You know, and I think also, too, maybe there was a pressure factor that he felt like, you know, he had to do a little bit more. I mean, if you look at the stats in the Big Ten Championship, it wasn't a great game, you know. I mean, he struggled. He turned the ball over a couple times, you know, and those are concerns if you're Ryan Day. You know, again, you don't want your quarterback to feel like he has to do it all. I mean, there's some talented, you know, running backs on that team. They've got talented receivers. I think because they lost some guys on the offensive line because of COVID and things like that, I think there was, you know, more pressure for him, and he was forced to maybe get out of the pocket more than he would have liked to. Again, you hope with everyone being back healthy that maybe he's got an opportunity to play the kind of style he wants to play. He's familiar in this game. He's been in these kind of big games now. It shouldn't be any factor of nerves or anything like that. It should be more about going out there and doing the best he can.
We've seen Clemson go to these playoffs with great quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson and now Trevor Lawrence, but defense has been a real key for Dabo Swinney. I know COVID has sort of altered some numbers a bit, but they're saying this is one of the best defensive teams, defensive fronts Dabo has had. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think there has been. You know, I mean, I think he's, you know, again, COVID has really impacted some of these stats. I mean, you look at the fact that they've had guys come in and out, even in that Notre Dame loss, you know, back in November or October. You know, they were down a couple defensive players, you know, up front, and I think that's kind of what hurt them a little bit. But this is what Dabo does and Brent Venables does. You know, they go out and they recruit these kind of players, and, you know, guys who would be playing starting right now for most teams are second or third teamers at Clemson, and that's, it's very similar to what happens at, you know, Alabama. You know, these are guys ready to go, so when someone goes down, they step up, and they're these, like, elite players. So I don't see Clemson's defense, you know, going down anytime soon. I think they'll continue to recruit those kind of players, and they continue to develop them. And that's been the key for them, because as great as the quarterback play has been and the running back play, it's been that defensive front. It's been the pressure they've been able to put on teams. I think that's the key to success for Clemson.
All right. Matt Breschel, Orlando Sentinel. Love having you on, my friend. Hope to catch you up with the national championship game preview. Appreciate it, my man.
No problem. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Matt Breschel, Orlando Sentinel, talking some college football. We love having Matt on. He's good stuff. On our Progressive guest line, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. Well, it is New Year's Eve. Maybe tonight you'll have some sort of festivities at your home to celebrate 2020 being eliminated and 2021 coming into focus. And if you overeat, you overindulge, which you probably will, you're going to need some Nauseen. I was telling you yesterday, one of my family traditions is to get a bunch of appetizers, and that's what we have for dinner. We just lay it all out. It's an all night, all day grab and go kind of thing. We've been doing it for years. It's kind of fun, but it's not really great on your tummy. So Nauseen helps, available in the digestive section of most leading retailers. Wild cherry flavor, quick dissolving chewable tablets will relieve that upset stomach and nausea that you'll get from that overindulging feeling. Their 4-minute formula quickly relieves that stomach discomfort. And again, you get the non-drowsy, no aspirin, no caffeine or antihistamines. And that note, that non-chalky medicinal flavor that you get from other digestive aids. Nauseen, again, available in the digestive sector of most leading retailers. Check it out. All right, we'll continue some thoughts on the college football playoffs as we continue on Wake Up Call.